Okay. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. My name is Sean Dowell, and I represent the appellant Titan Earthwork. We're here before you today because Titan has appealed two trial court orders, the first being the granting of the City of Federal Way's motion for summary judgment. The trial court based this granting of the city's motion for summary judgment on an interpretation of the Underground Utility Damage Prevention Act that requires an excavator. The trial court's ruled that an excavator is held strictly liable for damaging an underground utility, whereas the plain language of the Act states that an excavator is held to a reasonable care standard. The second order that Titan is appealing is the trial court's award of attorney's fees to the City of Federal Way, despite the fact that the party's contract has a clear waiver of attorney's fees in any case brought under the contract. I'd like to first address the summary judgment motion and walk through the Underground Utility Damage Prevention Act, which is also called the one-call statute. The one-call statute has two provisions that are applicable here, and that's .030 and .040. In .030, which is 19.122.030, an excavator is required to comply with certain threshold requirements under the Act. And those threshold requirements include marking the boundaries of an excavation area. It includes calling the one-call service, so calling a locate service to have them come mark where underground utilities may be. Wait until the one-call service actually marks the utilities, and then maintain those markings for a certain period of time. If an excavator does not comply with any of these threshold requirements, an excavator may be held strictly liable, and that's the Hayfield v. Ruffier case, where Mr. Ruffier, the excavator, didn't comply with the threshold requirement of actually calling the one-call statute.
Okay, let's jump ahead a little bit.
Sure.
Here, Titan knew that there was both a north conduit and a south conduit. They were told that, mm-hmm. Right?
That's right.
And the ground was marked with both a north and a south conduit, right?
That's right.
And
well, that's in dispute, but
there were markings for more than one conduit.
That's right.
And there was a trench on the south conduit, or approximate to the south conduit, right?
At one point in time, Puget Sound Energy, when they relocated the south conduit, trenched the entire area. And when they trenched the entire area, they went low enough to uncover the south conduit, but they didn't go low enough to uncover the north conduit. They relocated the south conduit, and they told Titan, come look in this hole that we dug and make sure that your signal pole's not going to conflict with the conduit in the hole.
Okay, but we don't, at that point, know where the north conduit is.
We don't know where the north conduit is.
And when they come back out after the trench is filled in, they mark again the location of the north conduit.
They marked the location of conduits, but in the intervening time, there were other conduits installed in the area, too, which includes the upper conduits that are shown in the record. I have a photograph.
Yeah, that's fine, but I want to focus on the north conduit. At no point, the north conduit is marked on the ground.
There are markings that may be associated with the north conduit, but there are also markings greater than 2 feet north of the signal pole location that could also relate to the north conduit. So it's all about how the excavator interpreted the ground markings and whether they thought that they conflicted with the area where the signal pole base would be installed.
What evidence is there in the record that Titan contacted the people who put the markings on the ground for the purpose of interpretation?
So the people that put the markings on the ground are a third party.
You don't have a lot of time, so you might want to just directly answer the question.
I don't believe there's any evidence in the record that Titan directly contacted USIC for that information. Titan, you know, the statute has a reasonableness standard, and
the statute says an excavator shall use reasonable care, but then it goes on to says an excavator must, and then A, determine the precise location of underground facilities which have been marked. That's a must.
That's right, but that's couched in this reasonable care standard. And as other courts that have actually interpreted similar statutes have said, when it's couched under reasonable care language, then you apply a negligence standard. You don't want to.
But here you've got a location marked. You don't know where it is, and you end up drilling into it. How is that reasonable?
Well, there was no evidence that the markings within the zone of tolerance, the city presented no evidence that the markings within the zone of tolerance actually correlated to the struck conduit. There were other markings north that could have correlated to that a reasonable excavator could have determined correlated with the northern conduits. There were a lot of markings conduits in this hole, including the lower conduits, which the excavator could have reasonably associated with the markings on the ground.
But you never saw, it was never open and trenched underneath the northernmost markings. There was no,
That's right, but there was only two conduits shown on the drawing, so there was only reason to assume that there was two groupings of conduits. So when Titan installed the shallower conduits, they knew that the southern conduits were in, there were shallower conduits, and then there were northern conduits. And so the fact that there were markings north of the trenched area would tell a reasonable contractor that these northern conduits reasonably related to those northern markings.
But isn't statute trying to get at by embellishing the reasonable care standard with you must do this, and that must is determine the precise location of the underground facilities?
That's right. But we would say, what is determine the precise location? That doesn't say you must visually locate the conduits. It doesn't say you must physically locate the conduits.
Well, you would agree that a paint mark on the ground with a 24-inch tolerance isn't a precise location, wouldn't you?
I would agree that, yes, but like I
said, that means you don't have enough information with the paint mark, correct?
That's right. But Titan had an unusually large amount of information because Puget Sound Energy dug a hole and said, this is where the conduits are located, and please verify that the...
But the hole was over the southern markings. The hole was not over the northern markings.
No, sir. The hole covered the entire area. So the excavated location, the surveyed location of the signal pole base was within the hole. The hole just didn't go deep enough to uncover the northern conduits. So Puget Sound Energy dug this hole, and they said, look in this hole and make sure that conflicting conduits had been relocated. And that's exactly what they did, and they saw where the signal pole would be located, and they said that they had been relocated. And if I may, I'll address the attorney's fees in rebuttal.
Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Robert Noe. I'm here on behalf of the City of Federal Way, the respondent and cross-appellant in this matter. The crux of this case is the attempt by Titan to try to drag the court into the weeds on all sorts of issues on what they considered when they were trying to determine the location of these underground utilities. I don't know how they get from that to saying, hey, the city's responsible. Because under the Underground Utility Damage Protection Act, the city's responsibility is pretty clear. And the whole reason why...
Well, they didn't sue the city under the statute. They sued the city under the contract for change underground conditions, didn't they?
That's correct. But the contract actually has incorporated by reference the Underground Utility Damage Prevention Act. So
the contract actually requires, I mean, over and above the act, doesn't the contract state that the contractor is responsible for locating any underground utilities affected by the work?
That's correct. Throughout the entire contract documents, there's, I went through pains to go through each of the provisions that talks about location of utilities, relocation of those utilities. The maps that were submitted as part of the bid documents show existing power lines with the dash P, which is part of the record.
So the city's case, really, that they breached the contract by not locating the lines and not following 1922?
Actually, that's true. I mean, that's one of our bases for defending against the case. Remember, the city didn't bring this lawsuit. The city was brought into this lawsuit by this contractor after the contractor hit this utility, after PSC presumably came to the contractor and said, we want to be reimbursed for the damage you caused, then the contractor has sued the city. So in response, yes, the city's defense is that they breached the contract, and the contract provisions are pretty explicit about the fact that there are underground utilities and those have to be addressed. In fact, as part of the bid documents, the contractor bid a $5,000 amount for locating and resolving utility conflicts and another $5,000 amount for potholing, which would allow them to locate or precisely locate utilities before they started digging, mechanically digging with a 3-foot wide auger, which happened in this case. The photographs are pretty clear, and this is why the trial judge had no issue in finding summary judgment in favor of the city, because on July 19th, when the markings were done a second time after the trench had been covered, clearly the red lines indicate the power line were remarked. About a few weeks later, Titan comes out with their subcontractor, TSI, and they dig on those red markings with a 3-foot wide auger. And not surprisingly, it strike the power line. So under the act, they are required to, as you had indicated, they are required to have the markings put down. And then after the marking is there and they see it, they're required to precisely locate that utility. They did nothing in that regard. In fact, what they did was offer several excuses on why they didn't do it. First, they said Federal Way told them that it had been relocated. But they knew that there were south cluster of conduits and also north cluster of conduits.
Does the statute permit them to rely on that representation?
It doesn't, because the statute's duty imposed on the city as the project owner is just that the city identify in its maps and contract documents that the utilities exist. The city is not required under the statute to precisely locate that utility. In fact, that's why we hire this excavator with this type of expertise, because that's what they do. They do the excavation and they do it according to law, and they locate that utility so that it's not damaged.
And the contract specifically calls out that Titan is the excavator under the act.
That's correct. It specifically refers to the statute 19.122 and says that they are required to meet all the obligations that are imposed by that statute. Some of the excuses they have indicated that taint their reasonableness of why they dug there is that Patelco, which was contracted by Puget Sound Energy to go and do the relocation, didn't dig deep enough. So it's Patelco's fault, apparently. Once Patelco came back to the city and told the city, hey, we moved those utilities, and the city made that representation to Titan, then it became the city's responsibility for striking those underground utilities. It's not the way the statute works. City is only responsible for saying the utilities are in the project area. The excavator has to find those.
But Ken, I'm going to jump ahead because you're short on time. But I mean, it seems pretty clear that the city's argument is that they breached the contract by not locating the lines and not performing their duty under the statute. Both of those were contractual requirements, right?
Correct.
So why isn't this covered by the attorney's fees clause?
There's two different independent bases for awarding attorney's fees. The attorney's fees provision under the Underground Utility Damage Prevention Act was the legislature intended that to supplant contract language. In fact, the act says that anything in a contract that is contrary to the provisions of this act are void as against public policy. The policy clearly is that they want to protect these underground utilities, and under the provisions of the Act, if there's liability for damaging an underground utility and a party like the city is compelled to go to court to defend itself in this regard, the Act clearly says that we're entitled to our attorney's fees.
But the attorney's fees, what it actually says is that any action brought under this section, and as I review 19.122.040, the only liability provision I see is that sub 3 for damage. So how did the city bring an act under this section? The city didn't bring an action for damages.
Right. The city was sued because Titan was trying to recover the damages that it suffered against the city. So,
That would have been if PFC had sued Titan, they would have been suing them for damages under the Act.
Right.
But again, the Titan didn't sue the city for damages. The city, Titan sued for breach of contract and for indemnification.
Right. And so as part of the city's answer, in an affirmative defense, we allege that they failed to comply with 19.122. And so their argument...
You allege that that failure is a breach of the contract.
Right. They dovetail. You can't extract one from the other. They dovetail. So,
well, if we can't extract one from the other, why wouldn't we give weight to the attorney fee provision? We've got two sophisticated entities contracting with each other, wanting to allocate litigation expenses. Why should we disturb that?
Well, those are for disputes under the attorney fee provision applies to disputes under the contract. So, you know, interpretation of contract provisions or other disputes
or
like
breach.
That.
A breach of contract.
Injury to a third party, PSC, an injury to a third party is not covered by that attorney fee provision. This is not something that's just between the two parties. You got a third party injured that is seeking to recover it.
Well, the third party isn't involved in this litigation. The other third party apparently was paid by Titan.
Right, but that shouldn't make it their ability to avoid the attorney fee provision just because they paid.
I mean, but PFC. For this contract, would there have been any claim on the part of Titan against the city?
Not on their part, no. I don't think that they would have a claim against the city just based on the act. And that's part of our defense, is that they don't have anything under the act, and the act is incorporated by reference into the contract. So in terms of our cross appeal, if this gets sent back, we'd like it to get sent back to the trial court for a determination on attorney's fees using some sort of analysis like Lodestar or some other analysis on the fees, because it looks like the court just took our fee and cut it in half without any explanation.
Was there any oral argument over that, the fee, or was that done?
It was done without oral argument. Thank you.
Your Honors, I'd like to clarify one point that I think is worth mentioning, and that is that Titan didn't just go and excavate with reckless abandon here and see the markings on the ground and just decide to excavate. Titan did so with the understanding of what they had been told by the city and what they had been shown by Puget Sound Energy, who was actually the owner of the conduits. Not only that, but the City of Federal Way's inspector was also there when the excavation was occurring. The City's Federal Way's inspector is who stopped Titan from vector excavating or potholing the utilities and said, we're not going to pay you for this item anymore.
He didn't stop them. He just said it isn't on our dime anymore.
That's right, but as Mr. No stated, Titan included these bid amounts for potholing. But that's only if they approve of them actually doing so. And so when they said it's no longer on our dime, well, how can we say that Titan wasn't reasonable in assuming that Puget Sound Energy's northern conduit was not in this area of excavation when the inspector believed so as well?
But it was marked on the ground, and you had a duty to precisely locate.
But there was no evidence correlating the marking to that actual conduit. As an excavator, you have to interpret the markings on the ground. It's not like the marking on the ground said, this is the northern conduit.
What action on the part of Titan would you describe as an effort to precisely locate the underground facility?
It's looking in Puget Sound Energy's hole. It's being told that this conduits have been relocated, and then it's potholing down to the shallower conduits, which reasonably could have been associated with markings within the 2-foot zone of influence.
It looks in the hole. It doesn't see the north pipes.
That's right.
So how does that precisely locate them?
Because Puget Sound Energy is saying, these are our conduits in this hole. And so without seeing the conduits in the hole, then Titan has a reasonable is reasonable in assuming that there's no conduits that would conflict. And so otherwise, I mean, if the northern conduits were more than 2 feet away from this hole, by requiring them to precisely locate them would be requiring them to pothole outside of their excavation area. There's nothing in the Act that requires a contractor to precisely locate any conduits. It's only conduits that could reasonably be associated with the ground markings.
And there were ground markings here at the same location as the hole and at the same location where the augering was.
And Titan found conduits that could be associated with those markings.
So you seem to equate could be with precisely locate.
Well, precisely locate, I mean, that's the definition. What's the definition of precisely locate? And that was one of our points.
Well, I'd be really troubled if I hired somebody to precisely locate somebody and he told me, well, it could be here.
Well, they precisely located by looking in this area and determining that there were no conflicting conduits. I'd like to just finish off by saying that that Titan requests that the court reverse the attorney fee decision as well based upon the contractual waiver.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.